a stiff leg, but that's better than having a stiff neck. I have had that a few times. I hope that it's not as painful getting rid of this stiff knee as it is getting rid of a stiff neck. Sometimes that's pretty painful. It's been a blessing to be here. I think maybe at services like this is about as near to heaven as you'll ever get on this earth. You know, we've heard some, I don't have the vocabulary to express some of the wonderful things we've heard already in this conference, and it's still time yet to go. Talk about the wonderful things of Jesus and how precious he is. And if you know him tonight, you know how precious. Songs that have lifted up and honored and glorified our great and sovereign King, Jesus Christ. And Jenny just sang, I wouldn't trade what I have in him, what we've heard about thus far, for all of the treasures this world has. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes that it's a blessing of God not to have many of those things that we consider treasure sometimes. It draws our attention, our affections away from the Lord and the truth. I've been blessed by every sermon that I've heard from the very beginning last night. I hadn't heard Brother Don Titus preach in a good long while. I was blessed to hear him preach. Amen. And hear Brother Mark and Sister Titus sing a special.
Amen.
That was indeed special for me.
Amen.
I have great admiration for men and women of God that God is blessed with grace and faith that has made it possible and kept it to where you and I could enjoy what we're enjoying tonight.
Amen.
And it's because of faithful men and women of God all down through the ages. I wish that I could get down in my heart established what we just heard from Brother Lee Hamel.
Amen.
I'm always blessed in hearing Brother Lee Hamel preach.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. When you hear Brother Hamel preaching, these other fellows too, it's not just hot air. It's the Word of God. And that's what we came to hear. Whether we wanted to or not, that's why we're here, is why God brought us here, is to hear that. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Thankful for each and every one of you here. I missed last year. Sorry that I didn't get to be with you folks. I see some changes since that's taken place since I was here. Some of you have gotten older. These young preachers that used to be up here are older preachers now. Somebody said, well, some of them are not hardly all gray-headed yet, but they're getting close. But we did miss being here last year. The Lord blessed us, and we came through our difficulty with the flying colors, all by the grace of God. I want to tell you this. When I had my heart attack, they carried me to the hospital and found out I had the four blockages, and they just started doing a heart surgery at Clarksville, Tennessee. And I was a little bit apprehensive, to be honest with you, when my heart doctor said, we got a man here that can do your surgery. And, of course, everybody else always went to Nashville, you know, the big hospitals. Anyhow, my heart my cardiologist said, I'll send him over to talk to you. So after a while, his wife, that was his assistant, that assisted him in surgery, came in the intensive care where we were, and my family was there with me, and she began to talk to us, and I immediately liked her. She was a very beautiful woman, but that didn't have anything to do with it. But I don't think beauty would have hurt if they performing surgery on it, in case I woke up, you know, before I spoke. But anyhow, she was a nice, dedicated Christian lady. And she wanted to talk to us about the Lord, and that made me feel good. Then after a while, Dr. Gibbs, the surgeon, came in, and he talked to my family and so forth. And anyhow, he told us that if there's any reservation, I won't do the surgery because so many things can happen and y'all will blame me. He went on and mentioned the things that could happen. And so there was a little reservation there, I'll admit. But while my family was sort of trying to make up their mind, and of course I was going to be the one to make the final decision, he slipped over beside him and bent over. His mouth was close to my ear, and he said, "Brother Smith," said, "if the Lord is ready for you to come home, there's no doctor on earth can keep you here. And if he's not ready for you to come home, there's no doctor here can send you there." I said, "I want you to do my surgery." I knew he believed that it was in the hands of the Lord, and that's what I desired. And so God did bless, and we came through it. But we did miss being here. And I do want to thank you for your prayers, because I know that you did pray for me. I want to thank the church, Home Baptist Church. Is this the 27th conference? I think I missed 3 out of 27. The first one I came to and I was invited, some other preachers told me, said, "You go up there and they'll ruin you." Well, I guess they think they did ruin me. But anyhow, I've enjoyed it all these years. Every time I've been here, God's blessed. And I'm just thankful that he's seen fit to let me come again and be with you. Thank you, Amen. The church, for the invitation. Thank you for all the effort you put forth to make us comfortable, and for the blessing that we received in being here with you. Good preaching. Good sayings. Bless my heart. And I'm thankful that God allowed me to be in these services tonight. If you will, turn with us to the book of Psalms. Psalm 9. I'm sure many of you have heard Paul Harvey. You know, he has page 1, page 2, and then every once in a while he has the rest of the story. Well, we've heard, no way, as I said, I could, I can't find adjectives enough to emphasize and express how wonderful God's word has been as it's been proclaimed to us here thus far. All about heaven and what's waiting for us when he comes back for us. But I want to tell you the rest of the story tonight. And what makes what we've heard so wonderful tonight is because of this story I'm going to tell you tonight from God's Word. Psalm 9, verse 17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." The way of the wicked. Here we have just a few short words. "The wicked shall be turned into hell." Well, what an awful truth. And it is truth. Amen. The wicked shall be turned into hell. We that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior tonight, we've rejoiced. I thought sometime maybe I'd have to go over and hold old Brother Clyde down. Talk about how great and wonderful the Lord is, and that we are joint heirs with him, and one day he's coming to take us out of this old world to be with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. How wonderful it is just to consider those truths.
Amen.
But this we're talking about tonight is also just as much truth as that is. That's what makes it so wonderful to know that one day the Lord is going to take us from this earth. And one day we'll be eternally saved. from hell.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
We're already saved, but we are being saved, and we yet shall be saved.
Amen.
May you never hear these words. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. May it never be said to you, as in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I want you to notice three things with me tonight. Pray that the Lord will help us to present this truth that it, as it is indeed in the Word of God. Won't you notice, remember, the place of hell, the people of hell, and the pledge of hell. It says, indeed, that the wicked shall be turned in hell, so there is a place called hell.
Amen.
And then it tells us about the people, the wicked, and then we have the pledge of God Himself that said they will, they shall be turned into hell. Not many anymore really believe in a literal burning fiery hell. We hear the term used very often, but when they use it, they have no conception of what they're speaking of. Because hell is a literal place. Folks, it's not this the wild imagination of some old Jewish writer, but it's the inspired, infallible, inerrant, plenary Word of God that tells us hell's real.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The wicked shall be turned into hell. The English word hell is mentioned 55 times, I believe, in the Scriptures. But it don't have to be mentioned once to be true. But there are other terms that are used to tell us about hell. The lake of fire, the bottomless pit, the place of torments, the second death, eternal fire, and other things that cause us to see and understand that there really is a literal place burning with the fires of hell. As Matthew 25, and I believe it's 41, says, prepared by God for the devil and his angels. Folks, it's not a devil's hell.
That's right.
It's God's hell.
Amen.
That God made for the devil.
Amen.
He's not in there yet. But there's coming a day when he will be cast in there, along with the beast and the false prophet, and all the wicked of all nations that forget God. Denying hell will not do away with it. It'll still be there. Believing it or not believing it does not change its reality. Hell is real. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. Hell is not a place that preachers just use to try to scare people into making professions. Being afraid of hell will never cause you to trust Jesus Christ.
Right.
The only thing that caused you to trust Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit by the Word of God shows you that you're going there.
Amen.
And only God can do that.
Right.
I can never remember when I didn't really believe there was a hell. But for 17 years I really didn't think I was going there. But when the Holy Spirit took the Word of God and made it effectual in my heart, I was afraid I'd go there before I could get saved. As a matter of fact, I remember the Sunday morning I was saved when God began to reveal to me my awful sinfulness before a holy and a righteous God and caused me to see that I did. Even though I didn't want to go there, I did deserve the very fires of hell. And it's just Holy Spirit quickened me and made me alive and made me to realize that God's Word was true. I trembled. I was raised in a Armenian type Baptist church where it was taught that you had to go forward during the invitation and kneel down at a bench in the front of the church and you prayed and pleaded with God to save you. Folks, there wasn't any pleading and begging being done. God had already done His work on me. And I was just wanting to do something to make it sure. And I was afraid that before that happened, I could get up there and moan and groan, whatever you're supposed to do down there, that I'd die and go to hell. But the Lord saved me. And that's what made hell real to me. Hell is a reality. It's not just a state of mind. Somebody said, I've had hell on earth. Well, folks, you may have had a hard time on earth. Many people do. Even many saved people suffer terrible things in this life. But folks, it doesn't even touch the idea of what hell fire is like. Somebody said, well, preacher, where is hell? Well, I believe the Bible tells us in the center of this earth. Have you noticed in the last few years how much more volcanic action we've had than we have in centuries before? I mean, everywhere you hear about countries all over this world where volcanic action, volcanoes are beginning to erupt. Even the scientists tell us that the surface of the earth is getting warmer all the time. Well, look them over in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 22. Moses, speaking for God, said, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell," literally meaning the lowest parts of hell, are Hades, in the Old Testament, Sheol, "and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Bible says that God kindled a hell, kindled a fire in the lowest part of hell, or Sheol, or the pit, or Hades, whichever you want to call it, depending on the language you use. Said He's kindled it, and it's growing, and it's consuming the inner parts of this earth. And one day the Bible tells us that there's going to come to the surface of this earth a lake of fire where God said the wicked would be cast into. Many scriptures cause us to believe that there is a literal hell in the center of this earth. Proverbs 15 verse 24 says, "The way of life is above, but hell is beneath." Well, I mean, anywhere you want to go on this planet, if it's beneath, it's down under the earth, isn't it? Isaiah 14 verse 9, speaking of the coming of the Antichrist, said that hell from beneath will meet you at your coming. Well, the Antichrist is going to be cast in the lake of fire at the end of the tribulation period. So it's got to be somewhere before the end of this earth. At the end of the tribulation period. If he's going to be cast in it then. Isaiah 14 verse 15 said that the Antichrist, Satan incarnate, would be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Bible doesn't tell us too much about when the hell was created. But it gives us a little glimpse of the starting of it. In number 16, you remember old Korah and some, I believe about 250 princes, and they decided that they're going to take over, that as deacons, they knew as much as the pastor and God, and they're going to take over things. God told Moses, said, "You tell them that I'm going to do a new thing for them to be ready." And there in Numbers chapter 16, verse 28 through 33, what God did, He said, was open the earth. And Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and 250 princes went alive, quick, down into the pit, into Sheol. And He said that fire came out from God and consumed those 250 princes. Folks, you got hell fire there. So hell is real. The earth opened up and took in those people that decided that they knew more than God did, and they're going to run the show. Mm-hmm. I think I've run into a few of those in my time that thought they knew more than anybody else, even God himself. Well, God has a way of showing them who's boss, and he did there in the case of Korah. Hell is real. Hell is a place of torment. I've heard a lot of jokes about hell. Somebody, I forgot who it was, said they're going down there in air conditioning. I don't have much doubt they're going down there if they think that way, but it won't be air conditioned, I can tell you that much. Luke chapter 16, verse 24, and I believe just exactly what Brother Hammer preached a few minutes ago. I believe heaven today for the saint of God is in the very presence of Almighty God. I believe prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it too was in the center of the earth.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom, across the gulf from where the old rich man went. And he said in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments.
Right.
You know, I ran into a Jehovah's Witness several years ago. And he was trying to convince me there wasn't a hell. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can take their own Bible, the World Translation. You go to Luke 16, it says torments too.
Right.
He began to tell one, and I said, well, you got a false translation because it says it is in your own translation. Hell is a place of pain and torment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 8 and 9 says that one day he's coming back in flaming fire to punish the wicked with everlasting destruction. Folks, I mean, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to keep on being destroyed and keep on being destroyed. They'll forever be destroyed. No end to that destruction. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11 said that, now I want you to get what this says. I'm talking about hell's a place of pain and torment. Said that those not in hell shall not be hurt. So the other side of that is those in hell will be hurt. Psalm 116, verse 3. Old psalmist said, in the pains of hell got a hold to me.
Yeah.
I know what he's talking about. That's what I mentioned a few minutes ago.
Right.
When God shows you you're lost,
amen,
you deserve hell, man, you can
amen
feel the pains of hell get a hold of you.
Amen.
You know what it means to be separated eternally from a holy and righteous and a merciful
amen
God. Revelation 14:10 says, they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. I think all of us know what fire is. Brimstone is just burning sulfur. You know, Isaiah 34 says that those streams of oil, really is what it's talking about, will turn into burning pitch where the lake of fire is going to be. And that the dust will turn into burning brimstone. Now, folks, you got fire and brimstone. Now, my personal belief is that's going to be somewhere down in the land of Edom. What's going to take place? Read Isaiah 34. It talks about Bozrah and Idumea. Folks, that's the land of Edom. And it says it's going to be a lake of fire down there, and it'll burn forever and forever.
Right.
Isaiah 65, excuse me. Let me show you something. For as the new heavens, notice now, as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Talking about God's people, this particular here, Israel. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. Now listen, folks, this is not history. This is future. Said that there's coming a time that from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh. Boy, that's never happened since Adam fell. All flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Have you ever known that to happen in the history of this world since Adam fell? That all flesh came to worship before God? Never has. But it's going to happen. When? In eternity. Now notice what it says. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. God said there's coming a time when there's going to be somebody that's going to look down at a place, and they're going to see those that broke God's law. The Holy Spirit said through the Apostle John that sin is a transgression or the breaking of God's law. Those that broke God's law and their sin is not paid for, one day will spend an eternity in a literal burning, living hell. Matthew 25, verse 46 said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." A place called hell. It's a place of perpetual justice. That's the reason it's eternal. Folks, because lost mankind can never, in eternity, ever pay for his sins.
That's right.
And yet Jesus Christ, our Savior, paid for him while he hung on the cross.
Amen.
In my stead. Brother Mark Smith and them saying this evening, his wife and daughter, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Thank God I was there.
Amen.
Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ."
Amen.
When he died on the cross, I was there.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I was engraved in the palms of his hands, what Isaiah 40 said. I was there. Just like those stones on the high priest's breastplate as he stood offering the sacrifices in the Holy of Holies. When Jesus offered his sacrifice for my sin, I was there.
Amen.
He was my high priest sacrificing for my sins. And that's the only reason I'll escape this terrible place called hell.
Yes.
Secondly, the people of hell, the wicked, and all nations that forget God will be turned to hell. You know, Isaiah also says that hell hath enlarged itself.
Right.
Wonder why? Well, all you got to do is just look around, even in our own country, but then just think about all nations that forget God. Down through the centuries that forget God. All of them are going to be turned into hell. Hell is going to be an enormous place to take care of all of those that are going there. Many, I believe, misunderstand who the wicked are. Many think when it says wicked that we're only talking about the pedophiles and the murderers and the child molesters. They're certainly wicked, no question about that. I just heard somebody, Brother Gunnels, I believe, was telling me where he is now, about in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, not Hopkinsville, but Tompkinsville, Kentucky, that they have an Amber Alert where five men kidnapped a little 14-year-old girl. That fellow ought to go to hell. Those fellas, I should say. But so should you and I.
Amen.
Except for the mercy of Almighty God. Certainly, that's wickedness. But this wicked means more than just the most worst of society. In Revelation chapter 21, it tells us who the wicked are. Look at them in verse 8, Revelation 21. Now here's who the wicked really are. You can also find out over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. Revelation, I'm looking at 8:21. It's 21:8 is what I'm looking for. Notice now, but the fearful, that's talking about the cowardly. People that don't have the spiritual fortitude to stand up and confess and admit that there is a sovereign God, that will not believe that God came in the flesh as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was all man, and he was all God.
That's right. Amen.
The unbelieving. What do you mean by unbelieving? Anything that's in this book. If you don't believe everything in this book, you're an unbeliever. Somebody said, you believe it? Yeah, I believe it. I don't understand all of it. But you know, over in John chapter 7, verse 17, God said, if any man will do his will, he'll show him whether or not it's the doctrine of God. God knows whether you'll do it or not. If you won't do it, no need God showing it to you. But if you'll do, if you'll do to the best of your knowledge as God gives you understanding of it, God will show you the truth.
Amen.
If you do not believe this book, then you're an unbeliever. And the abominable. Man, there's a whole lot of things in the Bible says an abomination to God. Some people said, oh, that don't amount to anything. You know, that's just somebody's idea. But I want to tell you, said all those things that are abomination to God are going to send people to hell.
Amen.
Not just child molesters, not just rapists, but those that commit abominations against God. I dare say, if we could be fully honest, if we really knew our heart, and the Bible says we don't know our heart, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But if we really knew our heart, we'd have to admit that every one of us is abominable in the sight of God.
Amen.
On our own.
Amen.
Notice.
Amen.
And murderers. And you know, the Bible says you don't have to take a gun and blow a fellow's brains out to be a murderer. You can murder him in other ways.
Right.
Whoremongers. Sex immorality. And sorcerers. And this word sorcerer here is where we get our word pharmacy. And it means drugs. Drug dealers, drug users. And I'm not just talking about crack cocaine either. I'm talking about alcohol. That's a drug too, folks.
Amen.
Idolaters and liars. And every one of us is a liar. You say, preacher, I never lied. The Bible said you lied when you come forth from the womb.
That's right.
So we're all liars.
Right.
Shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's who the Bible says is going to be cast into hell. Now, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Find here in a minute. I'm in chapter 7. I knew something wrong. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then it tells us who the unrighteous are. Be not deceived, neither fornicators again. Folks, immoral, sexual immorality. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals. Abusers of themselves and mankind, that's sodomites. I don't care what anybody says. God says that a sodomite or practicing homosexual is not going to heaven.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, don't you believe God will save homosexuals? I sure do. No, some is saved, but they're not homosexuals anymore. That's what he goes on to say there in verse 11. And such were some of you.
Amen.
So folks, what I'm simply saying is tonight, to be wicked, you just simply have to only be an unbeliever in God's Word. That's all it takes.
Right.
And we're born one of those.
Amen.
We come into this world estranged from God. The good neighbor. I have a fellow that lives right beside of me. One of the finest neighbors. Nobody could have a better neighbor than he. I mean, he's got a barbecue pit in his backyard. And he'll come and tell me, he said, listen, I'm going to barbecue a certain day. If you want to bring a shoulder over, you want to bring a rib over, you bring it over, and I'll barbecue it for you. Won't cost you a dime. And man, I mean, he knows how to barbecue it. Last summer, late in our church, Becky Wright One of our sons, Chris, our brother, sister Stauffer's, their grandson, Chris, was graduating. And they were, Stauffer was over their house. We went over there. They're having supper over there. We got back home about 9 o'clock, and here this fellow came over with a barbecued rib and had some potatoes and squash and peppers, and I've got what else, all barbecued, and brought it over there at 9 o'clock. And me and my wife tried to eat that whole rib. And man, I thought, before it was over, I just about thought I was going to die. But you couldn't ask for a better neighbor. But he's just as lost can be. Talk to him about his soul. Invite him, just try to get him just to come to church. Can't do that. You know what's going to happen to him if he dies without Jesus Christ? He's going to hell. About 2 years ago, had a young lady in our church, young mother, had a daughter, I think then maybe about a year old, I'm not sure if she's that old or not. Fine young man, her and her husband both are very dedicated Christians and church members. One Wednesday night, got through preaching and sang, and here she came. And you know, if somebody had to ask me, Brother Smith, could you tell me one of your members that you are sure, you know for sure that they're saved, that you're just positive, nobody can make you doubt their salvation? It would have been Melinda. I mean, I've known her since she was a little bitty child. She's always been what we call a good girl. Never gave her mother and daddy 1 minute's trouble. They never lost any sleep, never wept over because she's in trouble. And then later on, she made a profession of faith and was baptized. That Wednesday night, we sang, "Here She Came." And I said, "Melinda, what in the world is wrong?" I thought maybe she'd slipped up and done something. She said, "Brother Smith," said, "I'm lost. And God just saved me."
Amen.
A soul run. Baptist preacher shouted.
Amen.
Several reasons. One reason, I'm glad she's saved. But I'm glad God is still saving people in Faith Baptist Church.
Yeah.
You know what would have happened to her if she'd have died before then? She'd have went to hell.
Yeah. Right.
She's a church member. I'm talking about the people that's going to hell. Preachers. Sunday school teachers. Good people. Many of the people in hell will be good people. But really, folks, the ones that's going to hell are those that refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. John 3:18 said, "He that believeth on the Son hath life." I'm wrong. Gone. Got the wrong verse. "He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is already condemned."
Right.
Already judged. Romans 3:19 says that the law has gone out and tried everyone and declared that everyone is guilty before
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Only those in Jesus Christ shall escape. Folks, there is no other escape from hell.
Right.
Old Abraham told the rich man, said, "There's a great gulf between there and here." Folks, I want to tell you there's a great gulf between where that old rich man is now and where he'll be in that eternal lake of fire and where God in heaven is.
Right.
Nobody can go there from hell to heaven. Only those that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, went down into the paradise part of Hades and set the captive free.
Amen.
Man, you know, I can, in my imagination, almost hear old Abraham and Moses and all the rest of the saints. You know, the Bible says that Abraham saw his day and was glad.
Amen.
He knew one day that the Lamb of God would come.
Amen.
And he knew that it set him free when he came.
Amen.
That happened. When he went down there. and took them into the very presence of God, and they wait there. For you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I deserve hell, and you deserve hell. But thank God we're going to be like those three Hebrew children. We're going to the portals of glory. There won't even be the smell of smoke on us. He said one day he's coming back without sin. To take us that love is appearing. Last of all, the pledge of hell says they shall be turned into hell. Not might be, but they shall be. And folks, that's not the words of man. That's the words of God.
Amen.
If you're here lost tonight, folks, I can tell you for sure, God said, unless in His mighty loving mercy and grace He saves you, you're going to hell.
Right.
Place of eternal burning torment.
Amen.
Doesn't matter if mom and dad is saved. Doesn't matter. If you're lost without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. No doubt about it. No question about it. God said it. No wicked, unsaved, unbeliever will escape. Been sitting, my wife and I just picked these out. For years when we came to the conference, my wife and I stayed with Brother Larry and Diane Eaton. Always enjoyed ourselves. I didn't get beans and potatoes when I ate there. But I'd have pork chops and chicken and steak and half a dozen other things. I always enjoyed ourselves. But I can remember when there was problems and troubles in their family. Where's Brad at? Brad, you still here? I remember praying with Brother Don Titus, weeping over this young man as well as others.
Amen.
When he's out in the world. Of course, his mom and daddy, when they remain faithful to the Lord,
Amen.
They never give in just because he's their son.
Yeah.
I know they had their faults. I didn't see them, but I know they had them. But they stayed with them. My wife and I sat back there and we looked up in the choir and I saw, first of all, I saw his daughter playing the piano and singing, Jenny. Then I saw his grandson over here singing, standing up, singing bass, man. Saw his granddaughter over here singing, and I mean, she was letting her fly. Wonderful. See our children and grandchildren in church. But I tell you, what's a lot better than that is knowing that they're saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. Doesn't matter if they're my children, my grandchildren, and your children and grandchildren, if they're never saved, they're going to hell. If you're here, I don't care who you are. Doesn't make any difference. If you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell. You hope that you'll go home tonight. And I do too. I hope you will. But I'm not sure you will. You might not make it home. But if you're lost and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I do know for sure you're going to hell. A literal burning hell. I'm like Brother Hamill. I believe there are going to be a lot of tears at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, there are.
First of all of us that are there, I think, will admit we'll be miserable failures. None of us has come up to the standard that's been set before us by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard people say they didn't fear it, but I do have a fear of the judgment seat of Christ because I know that I'm a miserable failure. But I don't know that that'll be the cause of the tears. I believe one of the reasons for a lot of tears And because you and I have failed in our witness here on this earth. Now, our failure to witness is not going to determine whether a person is going to hell or not. The grace of God determines that. But it doesn't lessen mine and your responsibility one iota. God called us to be a light. But witness to Him. My lost friend, if you're here tonight, I pray that God might be merciful to you. Might show you that you're lost. And show you that without Jesus Christ paying for your sin, you'll spend an eternity in a literal burning hell. It's an awful truth, but it's just as much a truth as heaven is. And you know, Jesus Christ said a lot more about hell than He did about heaven. One other verse I want to read to you comes to my mind. Look with me in John chapter 20, verse 31.